Today, we are talking all about friends, skincare, and pretty much self-improvement, how you can feel more confident in yourself, how you can stop comparing yourself to others. So the other day, I asked y'all to send in some questions about pretty much anything. But like I said, most of it's friends, skincare, and self-improvement. So get excited. But before we get into that, let's chat all about my week. So this week kind of just feels like a blank spot in my memory. Truly, I was sitting down earlier trying to think about what happened, and I have no idea. I truly could not tell you what I did this week, what happened, pretty much anything that I actually did besides starting Euphoria. That I do remember. My friend let me borrow his HBO Max account because he got it for the month, and I literally watched the entire first season in 2 days, which probably wasn't healthy, wasn't very good, because it was the only thing that I did, and it made me procrastinate doing other things, which is not good, because I have a lot of things to do, because apparently all the teachers in school decided that second semester senior year is going to be the semester where they give us the most work out of any other semester, even though most people are already into college, and I would say guaranteed no one cares. So that's been just really fun. Like I said, I started Euphoria, and honestly, I don't know if it's impacted me in the most positive way, mainly because last night I was standing in my bathroom and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna try to do the makeup like they do in Euphoria. And I was about to go to bed, so I was about to wash my face anyway, so I was like, okay. And I tried to do like the cool eyeliner stuff that they do, but it ended up just getting worse and worse, and I'm not a big makeup person. Like, I'm not very good at it. I'm not someone who practices it, but it was awful. Like, it was so bad that I started dying laughing because I was like, what am I doing? And then my dad tried to walk into my room and I was like, oh my god, this is so embarrassing if he sees my face. So I talked to him while like hiding my face, like standing in my bathroom, and I was like, this is so embarrassing, oh my god, please leave. But I tried to do eyeliner, but make it cool graphic eyeliner. The thing is, the eyeliner pencil that I had, it was blue, but it was almost, what's it called? You know when a pencil isn't sharp and it's just like barely there, like just like the little nub of it? It was kind of like that, so I couldn't really use it, and it was like scratching my eye, which kind of hurt. Then my eye turned really red, and I was like, okay, whatever, I'm not doing this anymore. So then I decided, right, because I was thinking so well last night, I was like, oh my god, I'm going to dye my hair blue. But then I couldn't really commit to that very well, mainly because last time I had my hair blue, it turned a yellowish green within a week. So I was like, no. Also, my hair is very dark brown right now, so dyeing it doesn't really make sense, but I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna be so crazy. I'm so crazy, you know? So my crazy moment was literally dyeing an inch piece of my hair dark blue. But since my hair is dark brown, it literally just looks black with a blue tint. And it's in the very back of my hair, and I couldn't even find where it was this morning. That's how not different the color is, which is just really funny to me. But yeah, I thought last night, I was like, oh my god, I'm so crazy. And then I woke up this morning, and I was like, what am I doing with my life? So that was just a fun moment. I'm blaming Euphoria for that and for my actions, because that's like the only thing I've been doing all weekend is watching Euphoria, and I don't think that's very good for my mental health or apparently for my hair, but oh, well, that's okay. At least I don't have blonde hair or anything, and decided to dye my hair, like, all one color, because then you could actually see it. See, the thing with me is my hair is dark, so if I want to dye it a color, I need to put the dye in places where my hair is lighter, so where I used to have highlights, or bleach my hair. And I don't really think I'm going to do that one, so I think we're okay. And then also, the other day, I found, or let me explain. So my dad was standing in my closet, and in my closet there's kind of a top shelf with a bunch of crap, random things on it. My dad was on a ladder in my closet because the light was out, and he found something, and he kept pointing at it, and he was like, "Carmen, what is this?" And I was like, "What is what?" And he just wouldn't tell me. So I ended up having to stand on a rolly chair in my closet. And I was like, okay, if I fall and die, it's your fault, you know? Because I'm so, so nice and healthy like that. But I looked at it, and it was a time capsule that I had done in 2018 on my birthday with three of my best friends at the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cute. Let's open it. And so I did. And all the dust made me sneeze. And like my nose was just running. And I was like sneezing for an hour or two. But it was okay. Because what I found in the time capsule was one, extremely hilarious. And two, kind of really sad. So first I found was a bunch of papers with quote-unquote interviews of all the people that were there, and it was like, what's your current favorite movie, favorite location, favorite thing to do, and you'd have one of your friends interview you, and those were kind of sad because you could just kind of tell we were all besties, and we're all not really besties right now, and I literally have no recollection of making this at all, which is so weird because apparently I did on my birthday in 2018, but I have no memory of it. And then there were also notes to our future selves, and all of them just made no sense because they were kind of related to drama going on freshman year, and I have no memory of it. So I kept trying to read it. I was like, what am I talking about? I have no idea what any of this means. And then, funniest part, it was like future predictions for people and people we knew. And we were so mean. Like, so mean. And I told my dad that, and he was like, Carmen, he's like, girl, you've been like that. And I was like, wow. Feeling the love and support, no, but it was so mean. I was like, wow, yikes. Because the people that, I guess, technically some mean things were said, or just, like, rude things, I'm now better friends with them than I am with anyone I made the time capsule with, so that's kind of funny. And then, in the time capsule, everyone kind of left something, and one of them was my friend Scrunchie, and I pulled it out and asked my mom, I was like, do you think she wants this back? My mom was like, Carmen, no, it's a scrunchie that's been in a box for 3 years. No, I do not think she wants it back. And I was like, okay. Then my other friend left a hair tie, which was actually my hair tie, but she was borrowing it. And then apparently the thing that I left, no memory of this whatsoever. It was like one of those tubes where you can roll paper in, or you can, I don't know what it's called, but it's like, imagine a can, but a can that's like a foot long, I guess, and it's one of those things where you could make, like, why can I never think of any words? It's a noisemaker thing where you can make, like, rainforest sounds if you did that when you were younger. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, in there was just a single tampon, and then a piece of paper that says, Justin Bieber is the best. So that's how I was doing mentally freshman year, in case anyone was wondering. So that just made me laugh. I was so confused. I pulled it out and I showed my dad. I was like, Dad, The thing that I left in here was literally a tampon. And he just started like crying laughing. It's like, this is so random. I don't understand. Anyway, so that was kind of fun to find last night. And I haven't really told any of the girls that I found that because I don't know. I don't want to talk to people. But, you know, that's okay. That's okay.
If you have a business, you need a website. What's the best way to get a website up and running? Choose a network hosting company that makes it simple, like Pear Networks. Pear has over 20 years of experience managing the entire digital ecosystem for thousands of online businesses all around the world. Pear makes it easy for you with do-it-yourself website building tools and features, including simple drag-and-drop page design. And they have guaranteed US-based support technicians ready to help you whenever you need it, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Right now, when you sign up with Pear Networks, you'll receive one free month of web hosting. See for yourself how easy it is to build your website for free. Visit pear.com/free to get your first month of website hosting for free by using the code QUICKSTART. That's pear.com/free, promo code QUICKSTART to get started today.
Q&A time. So exciting. Okay. So, first question from the people that follow me on Instagram. If you don't follow me on Instagram, here's a reminder to do that so that you can actually send in questions next time I do something like this. Or if you like the story time episodes, I always post how you can send in your story time on Instagram. So make sure you're following me at the Girly Girl Podcast. Do you have any good tips for actually getting up with your alarm? Girl, yes. Yes, I do. I feel like I talk about this every day. I definitely don't, but it always comes up because I think I'm just really good at bringing things into conversation that I want to talk about. So what I do, this feels a little stupid, maybe if you're someone who needs to be on your phone all the time. But before I go to bed, I like to put my phone on the opposite end of the room and charge it, plug it in, and put it somewhere where it's not within reach, but somewhere that's, if I leaned maybe like all the way out of my bed, I could also not get it. It needs to be like far enough where you can walk to it. So the point is, once you have your alarm going off at 6, 7 a.m. for school, you have to get up to turn it off. And then you're like, oh, I'm already out of bed. Might as well just keep getting up. And then that's what you do. And then you just, like, don't go back to bed. Sometimes, though, it doesn't work if you're really tired and I can wake up and turn it off and then not remember turning it off. That has happened. But I feel like it's pretty foolproof. Other than that, if you set like two alarms or however many you need, I don't know, but I feel like if you set your phone on the opposite end of the room, you're gonna need less alarms because you don't want to keep having to get up and back into bed and up and back into bed because that takes too much effort, that takes too much time, and honestly, I'm lazy. So that's what you're gonna do, set it across the room because you don't need your phone while you're sleeping. And honestly, my parents and other people, friends, get angry with me because I have a habit of not bringing my phone anywhere with me, or if I go downstairs, I will not bring my phone, which I don't think anything of because I'm always like, I don't want to bring my phone everywhere because then if I bring it, then I'm going to be on it, right? And they're like, Carmen, you never answer your texts. You never answer when we call. And that's just because my phone is not with me, okay? I'm sorry I don't want to carry my phone everywhere 24/7. Like, that just makes me anxious, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to have to deal with that. But some people, at my mother, do not understand. So fun. Okay. Speaking of moms, wow, what a good segue, Carmen. Okay. I absolutely hate pads and want to start using tampons for dance. How can I ask my mom? Well, I think the best thing you can do, obviously, I think it might be maybe easier just kind of bring it up casually and just ask her what she thinks. You can be like, hey, mom, so a lot of girls at the dance studio have been talking about using tampons and how it makes it a lot easier and whatever other reasons you want to use a tampon instead of a pad. Just explain it to her and then give her your reasons. And then she'll be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course. Because I don't know why she would care, because it's not affecting her. But just explain why, which can kind of be awkward. But I feel like if you just talk about it like it's not awkward, it's going to feel not awkward, if that makes sense. It's only going to be awkward if you make it awkward. So don't make it awkward. Don't be like, oh, like, mom, this is blah, blah, blah. Like, I, like, act all uncomfortable. Be like, okay, mom. Hi, mom. I love you. And I've been using pads, and I hate pads. They make me feel gross. And it makes me feel like I'm wearing a diaper. And I'm X years old, and I don't want to keep using pads. I don't want to use tampons, and I want to use them for dance. Would you come with me to the store to get them, or would you get them from the store for me? She'll be like, oh my gosh, yes, my daughter is so mature and so great and so beautiful. And she'll be like, of course, love you. And then good. And then you're done. And if it is awkward, just tell her, you're like, mom, this is a little awkward for me, but I want to ask you this, because honestly, it probably will be awkward. Though, then again, I used to be so scared of asking people about stuff like this, but my dad's a doctor, so I always have to ask him, like, health-related things. So I treat it like a health issue, and that makes it easier, because I always ask my dad for stuff. yay, dad. Love dad. But yeah, just ask her, and if you're nervous, just get it over fast, or text her, okay? Just text her, send her a picture of the tampons you want, and say, hey, can you pick these up at the store for me when you're at Walmart or something? And she'll be like, yeah, sure. That's what I would do with, or that's what I did when I was younger with my dad. Sorry, I just think that's so funny. I was so scared, like, for no reason. My dad was like, I literally don't care. You are my third daughter, if you think I care. Okay. What skincare products do you suggest for people with normal skin? So by normal, I'm assuming you mean like normal skin type, because you can have dry skin, you can have normal skin, you can have combination skin, or oily skin. So it's a bit of a spectrum, if you know what I mean. So normal skin, your skin's not overly dry, your skin's not overly oily, it's not greasy. I would say, just as a general rule of thumb, I just want to say this first. I personally don't have normal skin. I mean, I did at some point, but then just all went wrong in middle school, and then I just, you know, I didn't. But I would say general rule of thumb is use products that are marketed as gentle and, I guess clean kind of, or more simple products. And depending on the season, you can use a thicker or a lighter moisturizer. And I feel like this is true for everyone. But I would say if you want some actual product recommendations, look up online. Just you can Google best moisturizer for normal skin. And there might be a list on like Refinery 29 or Vogue. And you can look at those, look at the reviews, or watch some YouTube videos about what people use, and make sure it's someone who actually has your skin type. Because if you're getting recommendations from someone who has, let's say, really dry, extremely dry skin, and you have normal skin, that product is probably not going to be the best for you, and it's probably going to feel really heavy, and it's going to make you feel like you have so much on, and it might end up making you break out. So keep that in mind. But I think, I'm trying to think, because I don't have normal skin, but a face wash that I really like is the Matcha Hemp Hydrating Cleanser from Crave Beauty, Crave with a K, and I really like that. It's super gentle, and it kind of exfoliates, but not really. It's a gel cleanser, I think that's what it's called, and I really like that. And then also, I know for moisturizers, a lot of people use the CeraVe moisturizer. I think that's the brand. It's, you can get it at Target or something. But when I used that, it did not do well for me. But then again, that's because I don't really have normal skin, and my skin is very sensitive. So I feel like it all kind of depends on your skin type, and you need to take into consideration, am I prone to acne? Is my skin sensitive? Because all these things are going to affect what products will actually help you and what products might end up making your skin worse or give you an allergic reaction. So just kind of think about that. But also, something that I've currently been loving is Curology. I feel like I've talked about them fairly often whenever skin comes up, but I've been using Curology maybe on and off for a year, because every time my skin gets better, I'm like, oh my gosh, my skin's better, I'm gonna stop using Curology. And then I do, and then it gets worse again. So we've been using Curology pretty consistently since summer, and my skin has been pretty good. I mean, I do get a few breakouts when it's around my period, or just if I've been touching my face or from wearing masks, I'll get some breakouts. But overall, my skin has been much better, so I really like Curology, and I don't think it's that expensive. And also, it's effective, and their products, it's very simple, so it's not kind of like a product overload, and it's only 3 steps for your skincare routine, so your skin isn't getting overloaded with so many products, so many different things working. Because I know I tried to make my skincare routine more complex recently and with some products that I had been sent, and at first I was like, wow, I feel so bougie, I feel like I'm living my best life, right? And then my face started breaking out and I started getting a rash, and I was like, you know what, let's stop that. But it felt fun because I was just using a serum and I thought it was helping. It was not helping. It made my skin somehow more dry. It was literally a hyaluronic acid serum, which is supposed to act as kind of a moisturizer. It's something that would add moisture to your skin, not really take it away, apparently. But I don't know if I was doing something wrong, but it was just not working for me. But I really like Curology if you're looking for something simple and you don't want to actually have to pick out your own products, because that can definitely be overwhelming. But yeah, definitely use your resources. Look up stuff online. Look at YouTube. Ask your friends. See what they're using. Go to... I just realized there really isn't like a skincare store. That is so weird. They have makeup stores, but not a skincare store? What? Oh my god. That, okay. Currently thrown for a loop. Anyway, okay. What are some good moisturizers for dry skin? So, like I said, I don't have dry skin. I have combination skin, meaning that depending on the year, also, depending on which part of my face we're talking about, my skin is more oily or it's more dry in certain spots. And then also during the winter, I would say my skin leans more towards like a dry combination. And then in the summer, it's more oily combination. I don't know. It doesn't really make sense. It just pretty much, I would describe it as it hates me. My skin genuinely hates me and wants me to suffer. That's how I would explain what it's doing, because it's just so annoying. So annoying. But for dry skin, definitely 10 out of 10 suggests a very thick moisturizer. Oh my God, I cannot talk. Something that's really rich. Generally with dry skin, you can look for products that have the word rich, for dry skin, hydrating, nourishing, all those types of word. Anything related to sounding really thick, really hydrating, something that's going to give you a lot of moisture, go for that. And again, try to find something gentle, look up stuff online. But yeah, I recently started Accutane and am only a month in. How is your experience? Any advice? So I've talked about this in an episode maybe year ago, a little over a year ago, I don't know. But I took Accutane for 10 months in middle school, which is much longer than you're supposed to take. Like, you are not supposed to do it for 10 months. But I did, because I don't know how to explain this without it sounding like illegal, so I'm just not going to. But I took it for 10 months, okay? Which is not suggested, but I did. I would say overall, obviously, my skin did clear up, and it cleared up pretty quickly. But when you first start Accutane, your face kind of purges. Purging meaning like everything that's just in your skin is coming out. So your face is gonna break out like so much, and it's really depressing, because obviously you're like, oh my God, I just want my skin to be better, and all of a sudden it's getting worse, and you're like, okay, what do I do? But after that, everything's fine. But I think the worst thing I experienced with Accutane was just the overall dryness. Tips, carry Aquaphor with you, Vaseline, whatever you want to use, in your backpack, in your car, depending on how old you are, just with you at all times. Just always have some sort of chapstick, because your lips are going to be so dry. And also, something that I liked about, like, not being, or I guess less oil production, was that I didn't have to wash my hair as often, because I don't really like washing my hair. And I would just try to see how long I could go without washing my hair. But the thing was, your skin literally doesn't produce oil, or it barely does. So my hair wouldn't be greasy. Like, I think one time I didn't wash my hair for a week, which is kind of nasty, but my hair wasn't greasy at all. And let's say if I did this right now, disgusting, my hair would look wet. Okay, if I don't wash my hair for 3 or 4 days, my hair looks wet. At me this week during school, my hair actually started to hurt so bad, because it was so greasy that it felt heavy. I could feel the individual hairs on my head, and it just hurt when I touched my hair, which I asked my mom if she had ever experienced that, and she just kind of looked at me like I was crazy. But I mean, it was pain. It was true and utter pain. But I really liked Accutane. It helped. I struggled with my skin a lot in middle school, and nothing helped. And if you don't know what Accutane is, it is a medicine that can only be prescribed to you by a dermatologist. It is fairly expensive. And then also you have to take like monthly pregnancy tests and do blood tests. I don't know what that's called, blood tests, getting your blood drawn once a month. So I think maybe I was in 7th or 8th grade at the time. And for some reason, every time I got my blood drawn, it would be first hour math. So I think this is my theory for why I don't know any geometry, and why I literally had to relearn geometry for the ACT. It's because I was getting my blood drawn and taking pregnancy tests. So much fun for an 8th grader, right? So much fun. But anyway. Okay. How are you confident with your skin when you struggle with acne? it's really been affecting my self-confidence recently. I think the thing that I realized from having just had to deal with acne and just my skin not looking the way I want it to since I was in fifth, sixth grade is just really realizing that what you say to yourself actually does impact your skin, and like commenting and saying negative things and looking at yourself in the mirror and just being like, oh my god, my skin's so ugly. Like, how do people look at me? That's gonna in turn make anything you see on your face just feel ugly and make you feel like your skin's always gonna be bad and it's always gonna look like this. But that's not true, because you're young. You can always find stuff to improve your skin, whether it's through medicine or whether it's changing your diet or drinking more water or using the right products. Because honestly, you don't know what might be causing this. It might just be because you're going through puberty and you're having surges of hormones that's making your skin act a little crazy. Maybe you're using the wrong product and it's causing your skin to react and it's making your skin worse. Or maybe you have hormonal acne and nothing you do is really going to help besides taking medicine. Even now, I'm still on medicine for my skin. I've been on medicine for my skin since I was in seventh grade, and I'm now a senior in high school. So honestly, I think it can be hard, and when I do break out, even if it's not bad, it does kind of impact my self-confidence, but then I have to remember, like, everyone's skin breaks out, and it only looks that bad just because it's me, and I'm worried about what other people are going to say, right, or what it's going to look like, or that people are going to be only staring at my pimple, but that's not true, and I think the thing to remember is that most people do not care what your skin looks like. Most people are not going to say anything, or maybe their skin is worse and they're going to be looking at you like, wow, oh my gosh, Carmen has such great skin. Little do you know that maybe me or someone else is looking at our skin being like, oh, I wish I had their skin. So I feel like to feel confident in your skin, you just kind of have to accept it, really just accept it for what it is. Like, yes, I know I'm always going to struggle with hormonal acne and my skin is not always going to be perfect, but that's okay, because I'm not going to just talk down to myself for something that I really can't control and that is my body's fault, you know, I guess. So you shouldn't blame yourself for things that you don't really have control of. But then again, there are things that you can do to improve your skin and make it better. So keep that in mind and just know that you're beautiful even if you have acne, even if you have hyperpigmentation or acne scars or whatever it might be, whatever you think is making your skin uglier that makes you feel like you're not worthy, because you are worthy and you are beautiful. And just having a few red dots on your skin doesn't change that. And if anyone says it does, then they suck and you shouldn't be friends with them or care about their opinion. And I always like to say this, if you wouldn't take advice from someone, then their opinion doesn't matter. If you're not friends with someone, if you don't enjoy being with a specific person, why would their opinion of you matter, right? If you don't care about them, don't listen to them. Their opinion is irrelevant. It's only your opinion that matters, and obviously you can take advice from your friends, from your family, but it shouldn't be taking advice from someone who you have little to no respect for, I say in the nicest way possible. My best friend has recently been texting only to complain and is getting on my nerves. I haven't been responding to the texts and I don't know what to do. Any advice for this? First of all, sorry, I feel like sometimes I'm that friend that only complains and I feel bad and I have to kind of rein myself in. I'm like, okay, not everything's about me, you know? But also I've been on the receiving end of this, of just hearing someone complain, and I've had to deal with my sister who has had to deal with friends that have only text her to say bad things, and that's really hard to deal with, just because it's like, what are you supposed to say? Like, someone's like, oh my god, I hate my family, I hate my parents, I hate life, I hate school, everything's going so bad for me, no one likes me, and you're just like, okay, sorry. Like, it's like, what do you want me to say? First of all, sorry that you have to deal with that. I know it's extremely annoying. Maybe just try to imagine. This is also very difficult. Just try to imagine what your friend might be going through right now and just see it from her perspective. Like, why might she be laying all of this on you? Why might she be trying to get your support? Is it because she looks up to you? Is it because she needs that external validation because she doesn't get it from other places? Like, why might she be trying to get it from you specifically? Is it because she trusts you and she doesn't have anyone else to go to? Is it because she doesn't feel safe telling her parents or telling anyone else? So just kind of imagine that. And then also, I don't think you necessarily have to be responding every 5 seconds and just saying, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm so sorry. You could definitely respond once and just be like, I'm really sorry that you're going through this. Or if she's complaining about stupid things, okay, who cares? And just think about, do I still want to be friends with this person? Because if you don't want to be your friend, literally who cares? And it doesn't matter. But if you do want to be her friend, you really just kind of gotta, I guess, put her in a her place. Or put them in their place. But in a nice way. In a way of saying, the only thing you've been telling me, or the only thing you've been talking about, is complaining. And you're just complaining about everything. And honestly, you're not giving me any chance to talk, and you're not giving me any time to do so either. And I truly don't care. But you can't really say that. You kind of have to say it, but without saying it, I guess. Say it, but without saying those exact same words. Just kind of conveying how you feel and letting them know that, of course, you'll listen to them. Of course, they can come to you with their issues, but you're not just there for someone to complain to, and that's not what you want to be doing as a friend. Like, you have stuff you want to talk about. You want to talk about stupid things like shows you're watching or people at school or classes. You don't just want to hear about someone complaining about every single thing. And I think it's important. Maybe you can try to change the conversation. If this person is complaining about something, try to divert the conversation to something else, something on neutral ground. That you all can both talk about. And if she keeps trying to complain and you keep trying to do this, change the subject, just really, you might have to tell them, like, hey, please stop. You are getting on my nerves and I'm honestly done, right? Just like tell her how you feel. Or if you're not about that, if you're not about confronting someone with that, change the subject or don't respond. I have a quote-unquote friend who always wants to hang out, but I don't really like her. How do I reject her? First of all, I like the way this question is phrased with rejection. I think that might be a bit of a strong word, but maybe if this person genuinely isn't one of your friends and they're just some maybe acquaintance that's trying to get closer with you. I feel like I'm so bad with friend stuff, so I don't know if y'all should be taking advice from me, because I will be honest, I don't know necessarily if I'm the best friend to people. I try, I do, but I have little patience for some people, and one of my pet peeves is just people who are stupid. Like, if you are stupid, if you don't have common sense, if you aren't just smart, I cannot be around you. It will just piss me off. And I feel like sometimes I say things that can be taken as sarcasm, but I'm being honest, but people will be like, oh my god, Carmen, that is so funny. I'm like, girl, I'm not joking. I'm dead serious. So I have often been called a little too blunt, a little too honest. So how would I handle this situation, you may ask? Well, I love how I just can't think of anything. There are two ways that I would go about this. Whether they are right ways, I don't know. I feel like there's definitely a better way you could do this. But this is what I would do. But then again, keep it in mind, just my friendship, my history with different friendships has not been the best. One, I would A, not respond. And if this person is asking over text, not respond. They keep asking. Have an excuse. Have another plan. Okay? Or another thing I would do is just say no. They're like, do you want to hang out? No. No explanation. You don't need to give an explanation. They don't deserve to know an explanation. Sure, maybe this friend is nice, but that doesn't necessarily mean you want to be with them. You know those people that did nothing bad to you, but you truly just can't stand them just because they're just annoying? You know, maybe this is like one of those types of people, but I feel like I'm so bad with this. But then again, there is also the nice way of handling this. You hang out with her once, or them, him, whoever this person is. You hang out with a friend once, just so that they know that you can say you've hung out with them before and they're not like, oh my god, why are you always avoiding me? But then you don't have to do it again. Just do it once. But I think it's really hard to deal with a friend like that who's really clingy and always wants to hang out, especially when it's not reciprocated. Like, it's fun when you have a friend who's like, oh my gosh, let's hang out all the time, and you also love that friend. You're like, oh my gosh, yes, let's hang out all the time. But when the feeling isn't reciprocated, it can be kind of awkward and a little uncomfortable, right? So I feel like I don't have a good answer for this, mainly because I don't know if I have a healthy way for how I would handle it, and that is probably a flaw on my part, sure, but like, okay, again, I don't know if I'm the best to give friend advice, which is so funny, because literally, I swear, over half the questions were about friends. I'm like, guys, I'm not good with friend stuff. And that is not something that I feel confident in giving advice on, because I feel like I somehow, or most of the times, do the wrong thing when it comes to a friend situation. And then people get upset at me because sometimes I guess I can seem insensitive, which I understand. I understand. But most of the time it's because I don't care. And apparently someone else cares. And I'm like, why do you care so much about my opinion about you or about other things? Because, like, I don't care. And I don't know how to say those types of things in a nice way, which is something I need to work on. Because some people, I don't think, appreciate my bluntness. Or don't appreciate me saying something, trying to be honest, thinking it'll be nicer that way than walking around it. Because then I feel like if I don't say it straight up, they're like, you never told me you felt that way. And then somehow it's still my fault. I don't know. Sometimes things just feel like they're always my fault, no matter what I do in the situation. So again, I don't know if I have the best advice for that one. Haha, but oh well, it's fine. Wow, guys, thanks for listening. I hope you all have an amazing week. Make sure that you are following me on Instagram and TikTok at the Girly Girl Podcast. Leave a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Yep, you can leave ratings on Spotify, which is super fun. And a lot of y'all have figured that out. But I hope you have an amazing week. Thank you for sending in all your questions. It's looking like this is going to be a two-part episode, which is pretty exciting. So stay tuned for next week where I talk more about friends and self-improvement, how you can improve your self-esteem and your confidence. And I hope you have an amazing week. Love y'all. Bye.